Today's reading can be found on page 1062 in your pew Bibles. It is taken from Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As the psalmist prayed, "May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Amen. When I was a little lad, if ever I was looking a bit miserable, my father would say to me, "Cheer up, old man, it may never happen." Relentlessly, remorselessly optimistic. Do you know people like that? They can't be put down. Backslappers is sometimes the expression that we use. Everything's going to be all right. Incurable optimists. Is that true? Everything's going to be all right. Well, it rather depends who says it. Is that true? That is the question. It can be just a pious wish. It can just be noises in the air that are designed to make you feel good and may work very briefly, but don't last when the winds are contrary. So let's try another one. I think you're going to have to press the buttons, Tom. Thank you. Is that a little bit more realistic? Is that true? What happens if it's Jesus speaking? What's his version? Does it make a difference? Well, what he says, you've already heard. And it's this: "Peace be with you." Lovely words, but do they actually have any substance to them at all? Why shouldn't I be miserable? Look at the world around you. You might even say, look at the family in which you're placed, or the work situation you're in, or perhaps your own health. And the people who say, "Keep calm, everything will be okay," are just living in la-la land. But perhaps we wouldn't dare to say it about Jesus. But he seems to be saying the same. Peace be with you. Not only the desire to wish us well, and there are lots of people like that, well-intentioned, kind, thoughtful, but powerless to make any real difference to the situations of life itself. But here is someone not only with the desire to wish us well, but the power to make it happen. And I want to look with you this morning at six reasons why we should take his words very seriously and why we should be at peace. First of all, peace forever, the conquest of death. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me, not a ghost, not a memory, not a notion of love triumphing over everything, but him, the Jesus who died on Friday, is alive on Sunday. That's the scandal of it all. That's why some of you find it hard to believe. And so you should, because it's never happened before. And so far, it hasn't really happened again. But it will, and then you'll know, and you will be in no doubt at all. They thought it was a ghost. He looked strange, a bit different. He appeared suddenly out of nowhere. And above all, he was supposed to be dead. And when you're dead, you're dead. But not this time. John Brown's body lies a mouldering in the grave. But his soul goes marching on. No, it doesn't. That is not Christian. And Sunday by Sunday, unless the leader leaves it out, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. That was Jesus. It couldn't have been Jesus if his body was in the tomb. That's why the empty tomb is so important. Because this is Jesus. This is not Jesus' soul or Jesus' ghost or some notion about Jesus. This is Jesus. And that's why it's so wonderful. Body mouldering in the grave and soul going marching on is not what happened to Jesus, and it is not what will happen to you if you belong to him. We are watching and waiting with two very good friends of ours, a husband and wife. Jeff's father at 91 is dying in a Carlisle hospital. He had a severe stroke just a week ago. And they're waiting, longing, that the Lord would take him to glory. Gordon knows full well and has known for decades where his life is heading. And he's longing to get on with it as far as he's able to communicate anything. And Jeff and Julie and the rest of the family gathered there are longing for that moment too, that glorious release. What do you believe about death? And do you believe that Jesus' death and resurrection makes a difference? Macbeth. All our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Is that our life and our death? Is that all we've got to look forward to? Let me offer you an alternative. Victorian hymn writer Henry Alford. I could have quoted any one of 100 hymns. Oh, then what raptured greetings on Canaan's happy shore. What knitting severed friendships up, where partings are no more. Then eyes with joy shall sparkle that brimmed with tears of late. Orphans no longer fatherless, nor widows desolate. Go on, choose. Which one do you prefer? Doesn't make it true. But it does mean that this is of desperate importance. That you do make up your mind about whether the resurrection of Jesus is real. Because if his is real, yours will be real. And all those who have fallen asleep in Christ will share that glorious hope too. Except, Mr. Henry Olford, you've forgotten something. And we shall see his face. Is that enough for you? This is only my first point. I've got five more. Let's move on. Secondly, peace be with you, peace in truth. Who do you listen to in the 21st century? Who do you allow to tell you about things you don't know? Things that confuse you? 1,000 conflicting voices, all claiming authority. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Jesus believed every word of the Old Testament. That was all he had at that stage. We've got more, and it's all one book. It's reliable. It's authoritative. It's true. You can believe it. It won't let you down. It won't make you promises that it doesn't keep. Peace in truth. You can trust the written, recorded, available Word of God. And you still can. Who's right and who's wrong? What you read in the papers, the Bible will tell you. The Bible is right because God is right. And power for every Christian believer to know and understand God's Word is on offer. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Do you daily ask him to open your minds so that what you read may not just be noises in the air, but truth for your heart and your mind and your soul? 2 good reasons for being at peace. I've got 4 more. Number 3, peace over sin. It's very interesting that when Jesus sums up what he wants his disciples to tell the world, it is repentance and forgiveness of sins. Shouldn't they go and tell the world about God's love for them? Yes, but there's something in the way. There is something that will prevent them from understanding that and seeing it and receiving it. And that is self. Selfishness and self-reliance. So Jesus says to his disciples, you go and tell people they can be forgiven. The gap between them and their Creator has been bridged. The wall is down. The way is open. That's the heart of the gospel. Not just desperately needed, but eternally proclaimed as secure through the cross. He's taken it all away, all that blockage and barrier. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Here's the solution. Peace through forgiveness. Peace over sin. Fourthly, peace in the world. I suppose it's always been true, but just in this last couple of months, what an astonishing mess we're in on a global scale. In every international airport, fear, terror, if not actual pain, mutilation and death. Fast exploitation of resources, transnational greed and crime, and now cybercrime, which most of us hardly understand and yet should be terrified about. On a massive scale and an ever-increasing nuclear threat, as nuclear devices fall into the hands of Tom, Dick and Harry, although you may have to adjust the names. Who can blow the whistle? Who has the authority to say stop? You answer to me. Go into all the world and proclaim, preach in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and tell them that judgment is coming, and they should be glad, thrilled, and say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The church's mission, peace in the world. Fifth, peace within, verse 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The power of the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, he breathed on them. Isn't that lovely? Something very intimate. Got to be very close to someone to feel their breath and to receive their life. It's almost mouth-to-mouth resuscitation as Jesus shares his life with his disciples. His life deep within us and power from on high to clothe us. To reproduce the victorious Jesus in every place, every home, every school, every office, every corridor of power. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II is coming up to her 90th birthday. I found when you mention to elderly people, isn't she wonderful, as she approaches the age of 90, they say, ah, yes, but if I had had all the care and all the resources and all the wealth that she's had, then maybe I'd be doing as well as her at the age of 90. We haven't actually got that excuse. The rug is taken from under our feet as we look at Jesus and his disciples and we say, I couldn't be like them. And Jesus says, well, actually, you could if you receive my life as I breathe upon you the breath of life, which actually brought human beings out of clay and dust at the very beginning. He's still doing it, and we can be different. Peace within, the gift of the Spirit. But there's one more. And in a way, that's all you're going to need. Thank you, Tom. You can just read it. And that is the peace of God, the very heart of the universe. My peace, said Jesus, I give to you. When he first appeared to them in their as they were startled, frightened, troubled and doubting, Jesus says words of dynamite. He says, it is I myself. Well, he would, wouldn't he? He would say it's me and not somebody else. But no, we're missing the point. We're missing the dynamite in that phrase, it is I, myself. Because they'd heard it before, at least their ancestors had heard it before. Moses had heard it before at the burning bush, when he'd said to the voice somewhere deep in the heart of that bush, who are you? Who are you? That's what he said. Oh, he's told me, but I'm not going to tell you. Right. And the reply came, it is I, myself. That is what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said to Moses centuries ago in the backside of the desert. And here is the carpenter from Nazareth walking into the upper room where the disciples are gathered, and he says, I am who I am. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. I am the Lord God Almighty. I am the Lord Jesus. We toss that phrase off, and in a way we should take it for granted, but let us never forget what it means. The moment we say the Lord Jesus, we say he is vastly more than just Jesus. So, what does all this amount to? It amounts to this. Tom? Yep, that's him there. Jesus is Lord. Now, if that's true, you didn't need the rest of this sermon. If Jesus is in charge, if Jesus holds everything in the nail-scarred palms of his hands, what room for being startled or distressed or troubled or doubting? Is that naive? Is it simplistic? Is it true? It is fundamentally Christian. Because if Jesus is not Lord, go home. Take the kids to the playground on a Sunday. There's no point in coming here. It's all rubbish. It's dangerous rubbish. It's just noises in the sky. Unless it's true. The Apostle Paul said, if it's not true, we're of all people most to be pitied. We're pathetic, laughable, tragic. Dame Julian of Norwich, all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. Why? How? How can you say that? Because Jesus is Lord. So, peace as you go is today's theme. But the passage ends with stay in the city. No, it doesn't. It ends with them staying in the city, but we've forgotten the words of Jesus. It ends with until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then go. And as you go, you will know his peace. Stay where you are, and you won't. Launch out, and you will. Do you see now why I've got a little lad learning to ride his bike? His dad is there, he's got his hand on it at the back, but the little lad has got to learn to go on forward in faith. And if he keeps going, he will be okay. He will remain upright, he will get where he's going. But if he slows down, or if he stops, we know what will happen. It will end in tears. He will wobble, and he will fall, and he will graze his knee, and everyone will be unhappy about it. I'm actually quite a cautious guy. I've got my comfort zones, and I prefer to stay within them. I'd really rather not be making this point, but it challenges me rather painfully. If all this is true, I have no choice. It's what is called these days a no-brainer. I am a witness of these things. There it is in verse 48, and I think it covers all of you as well. You are witnesses of these things. You know most of what I've told you this morning. You can't pretend you don't. I have his peace already, but it's only when I give it away that I have it most deeply and most securely. Peace as you go. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you have secured for us a lasting peace, an eternal peace, through the death and resurrection of Jesus the Prince of Peace. So pour that down upon us by your Holy Spirit, and as we fix our eyes upon you, that as we go, we may carry that peace into the hearts and minds of others, and into a world so desperately troubled, startled, troubled and doubting. We ask this in his name and for his sake.